Chapter 50. At first, no one in Cromwell's boxcar realized the train was rolling off the ferry because of the violent motion caused by the waves and wind. Bell quickly distinguished a different movement and sensed the wheels beneath the car were beginning to turn. He threw open the freight door and was met by a blast of wind that staggered him for an instant. But then he lowered his head and leaned out. He took in two macabre sights at once. One, the deck appeared to be moving toward the stern because of the train's forward motion. And two, the locomotive's front four-wheel truck was rolling off the bow and diving into the surging turbulence below. Bell spun around. "The train is falling off the boat," he shouted over the gale. "Quick! Jump while you still can!" Cromwell thought he saw an opportunity and did not immediately consider the disaster in the making. Without a word, he launched himself off the couch and drew his automatic as he leaped. A foolish mistake. Instead of instantly squeezing the trigger and killing Bell, he hesitated to say, "Farewell, Isaac." Suddenly, the hand clutching the gun was knocked off to the side and the bullet smashed into the doorframe beside Bell's head. Margaret stood in front of Cromwell, her dark eyes on fire and her lips pressed tightly together until she spoke. There was no fear, no fright. She stood with her legs firmly planted on the freight car's floor. "Enough, Jacob," she said. She had no time to say more. Bell grabbed her by the arm. "Jump," he urged her. "Quickly." Only Bell grasped the inevitable. He glanced out the door again and saw the engine had almost disappeared beneath the waves, and the tender and the freight car were moving faster as they were rapidly dragged by the immense weight into the water. The deck was tilted at a sharp angle, and the Kalispell was in dire danger of going down with the train. There were only seconds left before the freight car was pulled over the bow. His face contorted with hate, Cromwell swung the Colt's muzzle toward Bell again, but Margaret stepped between the two men. Cromwell was finally aware of the danger now, his eyes sick in the realization that defeat and death were only moments away. He tried to push Margaret aside so he could leap out the door, but she wrapped her arms around her brother's waist, pulling him back inside the car. He swung the barrel of the gun and struck her across the cheek. Blood seeped, but she clutched him in a death grip he could not shake off. The freight car's front wheels were irresistibly following the tender off the front of the ferry. Bell tried to yank Margaret out the door, but she was clutching her brother too tightly. The sleeve on her blue sweater tore away, and he lost his grip on her arm. She looked at Bell, and her eyes turned soft. "I'm sorry, Isaac." He reached out for her, but it was too late. Bell was falling through the door. He twisted violently in midair and crashed to the wooden deck, striking the shoulder opposite his cracked ribs. The impact was still enough to make him gasp in agony. He lay there, watching in horror as Cromwell's freight car was drawn below the surface. A hope flashed through his mind that Margaret might still leap through the door and into the water and be saved. But it was not to be. A seething white wall of water washed over the boxcar and penetrated the interior through the open freight door with a surge that made it impossible for anyone inside to escape. Still hoping against hope, Bell lay on the deck, water swirling around him, staring at the bubbles rising from the depths as the ferry steamed over them. He was still staring at the place where the train sank when it fell far astern, but neither Margaret nor her brother came to the surface. The bow of the ferry swung up, and the hull rose nearly a foot out of the water without the hundreds of tons of dead weight from the train. Almost immediately, to the immense relief of Captain Boss in the wheelhouse, the Kalispell's stability increased dramatically, and she began to burrow through the waves, her paddle wheels driving her toward the western shore of the lake. It took Bell nearly 10 minutes to struggle across the deck to the door leading to the stairs up to the wheelhouse. When he got to the wheelhouse, looking like the proverbial drowned rat, Boss stared at him in astonishment. "Well, now, where did you come from?"
"I jumped on deck as you pulled away from the dock in Woods Bay. My name is Bell. I'm an agent with Van Dorn."
"You were lucky you didn't go down with the others."
"Yes," he said softly. "I was lucky."
"Who were those people?"
"Two were innocent members of the train crew who were held hostage. The other three were wanted for murder and robbery. I was going to arrest them when we reached port."
"Poor devils. Drowning isn't a good way to go."
Bell was deeply marked by guilt and grief. His face was expressionless as he turned his gaze to the waters of the lake. The waves no longer looked deadly and were settling down to a mild chop. The Chinook was moving east, and the terrible winds had subsided to a stiff breeze.
"No," he murmured, "not a good way to go at all."